నారాయణ నమస్కృత్యోచైవరోజమం దేవీ సరస్వతి వ్యాసం తోజయముదీరే నశ్చపైష్మృతూనిత్యం భగవత్ సేవయ భగవదూతమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతీ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So this is the day we're celebrating Nrisimha Chaturdasi, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad Maharaj. The pastime is described in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, beginning from chapter 3, and it goes quite a few chapters. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 3rd chapter, will begin with text 35. I will read the translation to follow and also give some description of what's going on. Om Angina Tivirajasya Jnana Angina Shalakaya Chakshu Unvilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohrishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale స్వయం రూప కదామాయం దాతి స్వాపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమల శ్రీ గురు వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపాసాగజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాంబితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సాబదూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాద సహగణ లీత శ్రీ విశాఖాంబితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబాంధు జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపిక కంత రాధా కంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే బిన్నాబలేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమమి హరి ప్రియ వాంచకల్పతృభ్యశ్చ కృపా సునిభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాని గౌర భక్తవింద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతులే శ్రీమతి భక్తి విరాంత స్వామిని జ్ఞాని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషన్యవారి పాశ్చాత్యాదేశిత నమో మహాబలన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నమ్ని గురతి శ్రీ నమ అనందలీలమాయ విగ్రహాయ హిమాలయాధిపతి సుందరాయ తస్మై మహాప్రేమరాస్పదాయ చైతన్య చంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్య చంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్య చంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్య చంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే హరే కృష్ణ. సో వీ గో స్ట్రెయిట్ టు ది ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఫర్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 7 చాప్టర్ 3 టెక్స్ట్ 35. ఓ మై లార్డ్ ఓ బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ గివర్స్ ఆఫ్ బెనిడిక్షన్ ఇఫ్ యు వుడ్ కైండ్లీ గ్రాంట్ మీ ది బెనిడిక్షన్ ఐ డిజైర్ please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Please repeat. Oh my Lord.
Oh my Lord.
Oh best of givers of benediction.
Oh best of givers of benediction.
If you will kindly grant me the benediction.
If you will kindly grant me the benediction.
That I desire.
That I desire.
Please let me not meet death.
Please let me not meet death
from any of the living entities.
From any of the living entities
created by you.
Created by you.
Purport by Stephen K. Shri Prabhupada.
J. Prabhupada.
After being created from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in this universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others. Aham Bija Prada Pita, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 4. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has adored Lord Brahma as the supreme personality of Godhead and has expected to become immortal by the benediction of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal, because at the end of the millennium, Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any of the different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world. So, from the purport, it's clear, hopefully it's clear, that the conversation is going on, or the request is being given by Hiranyakashipu to Lord Brahma, and the request is the first of a number of requests. The first request is that he not be killed by any of the living entities created by Lord Brahma. That leaves out Lord Vishnu. That leaves out Lord Krishna. That leaves out Anantishish. That leaves out the entire Chaturvyuha. They all can kill him then. But anyway, let's go on. Strategy after strategy. Hiranyakashipu did not want to die. He wanted to live forever. And he is looking at Lord Brahma as his superior. And Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu knows, created the planets and all the varieties of living entities in the planets. Therefore, his idea was, if he asks Lord Brahma for a boon not to be killed by any of the living entities in the material world, then he won't be killed by anyone. At least in the material world. By anyone. So, his first request, he would not meet death from any of the living entities. In one sense, you can't blame him. Nobody likes death. So if we had a chance to escape death, we would all take it. Actually, we can, as long as we're thinking of ourselves as souls. Because the soul never dies, and that's the real person. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the one whom Lord Brahma came from. So that's why the purport starts out that way. Now, Srila Prabhupada also says in the purport that Hiranyakashipu was asking for immortality, but Lord Brahma told him that Hiranyakashipu cannot get immortality from him, Lord Brahma, because he, Lord Brahma himself, was going to leave the body, and he cannot overcome death, therefore he can't grant a boon of immortality, not dying, to anyone, including Hiranyakashipu. So then Hiranyakashipu decided to go about it in a menu form. So you can't get the total thing, then you will get it piece by piece. And his idea was that if you get all of that he's requesting, then it would amount to immortality. So then, in the next chapter, he says, text 36, 7336, then Hiranyakashipu says, grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence. Not to be killed in or outside the residence. Not during daytime, not during nighttime, nor on the ground or in the sky. So grant me that my death not be brought about by any being created by someone other than you. You can have that covered. Someone other than you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. That covers quite a bit. If you think about it. He took care of the time factor. He took care of place. Because not inside nor outside. Not daytime, not nighttime. So, alright. First he says, nobody created by you, Lord Brahma, should kill me. Now he says that nobody created, not even by you, should be able to kill me. It doesn't end there. The next thing he says, grant me that I might not meet any entity, living or not living. Living entity or not living entity. In other words, even a thing cannot kill me. A person or a living entity cannot kill me, but anything cannot kill me. He says all weapons. Now he says weapons earlier, but now he says any living, non-living thing. Grant me further that I may not be killed by any demigod or demon or by any great snake from the lower planets. And there's quite a few of them in the lower planets. He knows what he's talking about. Since no one can kill you in the battlefield, you have no competitor. In other words, he's talking about Lord Brahma now. Therefore, grant me the benediction that I too may have no rival. Give me sole lordship over all the living entities and presiding deities, and give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and the practice of yoga, for these cannot be lost at any time. Now, we may go back a little bit and say, but how did Hiranyakashipu get to the situation where he could request all of these boons from Lord Brahma? Well, the answer is, the short version of the answer is, he went through severe austerities. So much so that by the time the Lord Brahma saw him, Lord Brahma could identify him, but none of us here could have identified Hiranyakashipu. He was lost. He was there, but he wasn't there. He was there in an ant hill. Ants have actually constructed a whole hill on top of him. And his flesh was practically gone. His flesh is practically gone. But he still was trying to maintain his life air, his life, in his bones. That's the situation he was in. And Lord Brahma finally approached him. So he was serious about what he wanted. So, Hiranyakashipu basically requested all these. Lord Brahma says, I myself am going to die, but if this is what you want, so be it. So everything we read about now, Lord Brahma gave as a boon to Hiranyakashipu. So then Hiranyakashipu, in his mind, he was figuring he's covered everything. So now, it's going to be impossible that any situation would take his life. Then the demon in him started acting. He started terrorizing the entire universe. Now, he had asked for a boon from Lord Brahma to be able to get control over the demigods. He didn't put it like that, but it was there. So now, the demigods are the ones that Krishna has commissioned to do the affairs of the material world. And so, since Hiranyakashipu now has gotten a boon, that he has become their boss, so now he was boss of basically the material planets and including the heavenly planets and the hellish planets. When he talked about the great states, he meant the hellish planets then. So he had control over it everywhere. If it's in the material world, he has control over it. Then he decided, now, everything I say, everybody has to obey. So Hiranyakashipu controlled everything. He controlled the weather. The rains came as he liked. The sun came as he liked. All of these are controlled by demigods. All of them are in line. Whatever he says, As a matter of fact, they were so fearful of him that if he lifted his eyebrow, they were all shaking in your boots. Matter of speaking, not to wear boots necessarily. But he was controlling them. Now, he had a son. He had four sons. And the most celebrated or glorified is Prahlad. Now, at a very young age, Prahlad Maharaj had a wound. He was already a pure devotee through the mercy of Lord Vishnu. And he was born to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a demon. His son was a devotee and a very, 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 very much connected devotee to Lord Vishnu. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4 this time, we're talking about Chapter 3. So, Hiranyakashipu obtained power from Lord Brahma and misused it. He harassed living entities. So, it was through severe austerities, as we described to you, that he had received these boons. Now, he has all these power. But, he was still envious of Lord Vishnu, because Hiranyakashipu had a brother called Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha's life had been taken by Lord Vishnu. It took a whole form of a boar and basically fought with Hiranyaksha, who was a brother of Hiranyakashipu, defeated and killed Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu was upset with Lord Vishnu after having killed, because of having killed his son, his brother. Therefore, he didn't want to hear anything about Lord Vishnu. The last thing he wanted to hear is anybody praising Lord Vishnu. But his own son, Prahlad, was connected to Lord Vishnu. So, when Prahlad got a little older, old enough to go to start school, Hiranyakashipu got the sons of Shukracharya, Sanda and Amarka. They had a school. So then he took Prahlad to that school. And he instructed the two teachers, Sanda and Amarka, to teach him about politics, to teach him about material, how to get over, how to win over other people, how to step over other people to get better in life materially, and so many other things like that, so that he would be the controller, basically. But Prahlad Maharaj, as later we call Prahlad, at that time, he was already a pure devotee of the Lord, and devotees are humble servants of the Lord. They don't like to be controllers. Now, Prahlad had gotten to be a pure devotee through the boon of Lord Vishnu, and also he had heard about Krishna consciousness when he was in the womb, because Narada Muni taught Hiranyakashipu's wife at the time that she was pregnant with Prahlad Krishna consciousness, and that's how Prahlad heard about it. So when babies are in the womb, their brains are actually developed to the point where they can in fact connect to things happening outside, happening around, which means to them it's outside because that baby is in the womb. But the intelligence is there. The soul is there. The soul connects to the intelligence. Therefore, the intelligence can pick all of these things up. And so, he got literally a big dose from the pure Jubodhi, Narada Muni, about Krishna consciousness. So he was already convinced about Krishna consciousness before he was born. So those two teachers weren't about to succeed in changing Prahlad Maharaj's mind. Prahlad Maharaj went to school, Sanda and Amarka were trying to tell him anything but Krishna consciousness. So what Prahlad did was, when there's a break in school and the teacher stopped teaching for a while and the boys are playing, or at least want to play, then he tells his peers, these are 5-year-olds, but they were all children of demons. Demons were in control at that time, the head being Hiranyakashipu himself. He was saying, this is not the time to even play. Yes, we are children, but Christian consciousness is the priority. You take that seriously because you can leave your body at any time. This is true. But the arguments he put on and the fact that he was the same age as them, it's called peer pressure, but he's using it in a wonderful way for them, as opposed to what the teachers were saying. He was teaching the children of demons Christian consciousness, how and why they should take it seriously. And he was able to convince them, many of them, against what the teachers were teaching. So, Prahlad Maharaj has wonderful characteristics from listening to Narada Muni. So, we go forward now to still on chapter 4 of Canto 7. Hiranyakashipu had become the conqueror of the universe. Hiranyakashipu now has a son by Krishna's arrangement that is a pure devotee of the Lord. Now, a little bit about Hiranyakashipu. When he conquered the demigods, the most wonderful of residences the demigods had was Indra's residence. And Hiranyakashipu took over Indra's residence. And so that's where he was at. And some of the a few texts in Srimad Bhagavatam describes King Indra's residence. Spend a little time talking about that. The steps leading to the palace, they were made of coral. The floors were bedecked with invaluable emeralds. The walls were crystal. There were wonderful canopies that were beautifully decorated. Seats were bedecked with rubies. The bedding was silk, white as foam, decorated with pearls. And Indra had a lot of ladies in the palace. Very beautiful, beautiful teeth, beautiful faces. And they were wearing ankle bells, which were tinkling melodiously. So, this was all going on, but the demigods were being oppressed badly by Hiranyakashipu, who were taking over. Sometimes he would chastise the demigods for no reason. He just felt like doing it. So we're in all kinds of trouble. Now, the demigods approached Lord Vishnu. And they presented their case to Lord Vishnu. They were doing everything that Hiranyakashipu was asking them to do. Still, Hiranyakashipu was terrorizing them, giving them a hard time. So then Lord Vishnu said, I will in fact appear. And I will take care of Hiranyakashipu. In fact, in Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text 27, Vishnu was responding to demigods. He says, when one is envious of demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and of the Vedas, which give all knowledge of the cows, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and religious principle, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. So he explained to demigods, when Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions or Lord Brahma. So then he assured, Lord Vishnu assured them that when Hiranyakashipu goes after Prahlad, you will see what I'll do to him there. So then the demigods, somewhat satisfied, returned to their respective palaces. They were still under the terror actions of Hiranyakashipu. Now, when Hiranyakashipu, who actually loved Prahlad, the son, began to question Prahlad about what he had learned from the teachers, Prahlad decided not to tell his father what he had learned from the teachers, but Prahlad used it as an opportunity to preach to his father. And he told his father, oh, best of the demons, this is how he described him. It is good, and I'm paraphrasing, to worship Lord Vishnu. Now, Lord Vishnu was the one that killed Hiranyakashipu's brother. So the last thing Hiranyakashipu was to hear, he already is upset with Lord Vishnu, and his son, Bhagavasan, is telling him to worship Lord Vishnu. So that definitely did not sit well at all with Hiranyakashipu. But still, Prahlad would talk about praising the nine processes of devotional service, hearing, chanting, all of that to Hiranyakashipu. You should do this. You should hear, you should chant, you should pray to Lord Vishnu, offer obeisances. So then the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, became extremely angry. First he went after the teachers. You have taught my son this. I asked my son what he had learned from you, and this is what he's telling me, so that's what you're teaching him? And they said, absolutely not. We didn't do that. We don't know. Hiranyakashipu says, you take my son. And as a matter of fact, he didn't even put his son down. His son was sitting on his lap, and he just threw him off his lap. He was just upset. And he told him, you teach him what I tell you to teach him. They tried to. Prahlad Maharaj, whatever they told him, when Hiranyakashipu questioned him again, he still talked about Lord Vishnu. In fact, he told his father that all of these material things that you've gained, they are useless. You should drop them, go to Vrindavan, and chant like be like a Vrindavasi Vrindavan. So Hiranyakashipu was getting more and more and more upset with Prahlad. So that's the point that this last straw broke the camel's back. Hiranyakashipu said, that's it. I don't care how young you are, I'm going to get rid of you. And that's when he began to find out the power of Lord Vishnu and a person who is in fact submitted to Lord Vishnu. He tried several ways, threw him to a pit of snakes, venomous snakes, but that body didn't, nothing happened to him. He threw him in boiling, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad in boiling oil, nothing happened to him. Put him under the feet of elephants to stomp on him, nothing happened to him. Threw him off a cliff, he got saved. So many things that this, now remember this is a 5-year-old boy now. Remember as a father, your own 5-year-old son, trying to kill the 5-year-old son, just mercilessly. This is how demons are. But whatever he did, it didn't work. And so in frustration, now remember, he's doing this. He's ordering all of these horrible things to be done. And Prahlad is not dying. And so Hiranyakashipu's power now is in question. Remember, he's defeated all the demigods, but he can't defeat his own son who's a 5-year-old boy. 5-year-old, after getting all the big demigods to go online. So not only was there frustration, it was also embarrassment. Because now the demigods can say, oh, but you can get us, but look at this 5-year-old boy teaching you a lesson. He's not even fighting you, but whatever you throw at him, you can't do anything to him. So out of frustration, and also realizing, Hiranyakashipu realizing that there has to be power, you know, 5-year-old boy shouldn't be able to survive like that. So whatever power that's behind, he wanted to find out. So then he asked Prahlad Maharaj, so where do you get your powers? Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear father, I get my powers from the same place you get your powers. Another insult. Hiranyakashipu thought that he was in control of everything. He take Brahmashiva and Vishnu out, everybody else under his control, and now his 5-year-old son, who has not been killed by any way that he tried, now is telling him, I get my power from the same place you get your power. Now all the while he was talking about Lord Vishnu anyway, so then Hiranyakashipu put two and two together, that's who he means. So it's from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? this person that's your powerful, whoever you get your power, where is he? Balaam said, he's everywhere. And it's true, the Lord is all pervading, he's everywhere. I think that's the point of this pillar. So everywhere means he's in this pillar? Balaam said, yes. And I think that's who takes out the sword and smashes the pillar to dust. And then soon after that, he hears this big roar. And here Kasipu saw half man, half lion monster with several hands and several weapons approaching. Now he is king now. Hiranyakashipu is king. So he has plenty of soldiers. So the soldiers were ordered into the acts. The Lord, as Shrinidev, got rid of the soldiers. Hiranyakashipu remembered all the wounds that he got from Lord Brahma. So he said, I got everything covered. This is not whoever this being is, it doesn't matter how much bigger he is compared to me. He can't kill me because of the wounds of Lord Brahma. So he attacked Shrinidev. And the Lord, as half man, half lion, fought, well, in a manner of speaking, fought with Hiranyakashipu, but he's so much stronger. So he beat up Hiranyakashipu for a while, and then he toyed with him also. It's like it described in the Shastra, that it's like a cat catches a mouse, and the cat knows that he can kill the mouse at any time. So he just hits the mouse a little bit, and the mouse is not dead yet. The mouse is trying to run away, and then the cat lets the mouse go. So the mouse is trying to run, and then he pounces on him and catches again. That's what he was doing, that kind of fight. So we can't even call it a fight. Hiranyakashipu was victim for Shrinidev was having fun, literally, with him. Finally, Shrinidev took Hiranyakashipu on his lap, which is not up or on the earth. This was evening he appeared. So it wasn't daytime, and it wasn't quite nighttime either. He grabbed him and set him on his lap in a doorway which was not out or in. When you're in the middle of the doorway, you're getting out, you're not quite in. No animal, no human can kill him. He came as half animal and half lion, half human. So all of the wounds that he has over Lord Brahma, Shrinidev did not violate any one of them. And he didn't kill him with a weapon either. Put him on his lap and ripped his stomach and just literally yanked Hiranyakashipu's intestines. So this is the first transcendental surgery they performed on him. This is a good way to quote other sannyasis. It was a quick purification surgery that he performed. But when Shrinidev was very, very angry. Angry because of the way Hiranyakashipu had treated his pure devotee who was so meek, 5 years old, all of that. So as the punishment he was trying to kill, Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill Prahlad, Shrinidev Krishna, Vishnu, was getting more and more and more upset. So at the time he came out, he was ready. He was ready for that demon. So he ripped Hiranyakashipu's stomach to pieces, took out the garland. Now, a ferocious lion face. Now, put the garland over his neck with all the blood of Hiranyakashipu on it, and Hiranyakashipu is dead. And the demigods are looking to go, I'm not going near this. Lord, yeah, we know who's the Lord, but in this stage of anger, nobody wanted to go near Hiranyakashipu, even though they knew that they had a debt of gratitude or thanks that they had to give him for what Hiranyakashipu had done to them. But they were so afraid of the anger of Shrinidev and the way he looked that they didn't want to go near him. So they all chickened out and they said, well, Prahlad, you're the one that he favors, he came because of you, so you go. Go near him. As a matter of fact, no, it was Lakshmi first, right? He tried to get his wife, yeah. Even she wouldn't go to him. So what did he say, Prahlad? Prahlad went fearlessly to him. And when he went to him, then Jingadev's mood changed into a pleasant mood, patted Prahlad, head. Prahlad started talking, because Jingadev then asked him to, you know, request for any boon that he wanted. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't want a boon from you, and this is a lesson we learned. He told the Lord, I do not want a boon from you, because if I ask a boon from you, it's like doing business with you. I want this, and this. No. You can imagine so many religionists requesting all kinds of things from the Lord. But the devotee only wants, Shishuraka Sharmihari Ki, Shangadeva Bhagavan Ki. The devotee only wants to serve the Supreme Personality of God. Service from his heart. So he didn't want anything. But since Shrinidhi pressed him more, he just said, alright, but can you deliver my father? Can you deliver my father? Shrinidhi said, your father has already been delivered. In other words, the surgery was complete and successful. Therefore, the soul was already released, the soul would go back to the spiritual world. So, he did not, Prahlad Maharaj did not want any boon from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, there is so much, even though this is a pastime that unfolded, the Lord is always ready to protect his devotee. The more connected we are, and believe me, some of us will say, but we're not that pure, we have all kinds of problems. If you've turned your face towards Krishna, that's good enough. The mercy is not ours, the mercy is His. He gives the mercy. If you turn your head away, then you don't get His mercy, because you don't want His mercy. That's a sign that you don't. But if you turn towards Him, it doesn't matter what stage of development as a devotee you are at, you definitely get all kinds of help. And even me, I can tell you all kinds of stories that it was very clear that I got help from the Lord. Since I can all kinds of stories, I'll just tell you one. You don't hold up so much time. So this was in Gidanagri. I would say about at least 15 years ago. The president at the time was a Brahmachari. He got married later on. His name was Advaita Charya. It turned out that he and me were the only ones in the temple one afternoon. The only ones there. I was in the lobby area. My spiritual masters in the Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had bought some plants and decorated, he liked to use plants, decorated the temple and also the lobby. And the lobby, when you get down the stairs on your left and right, they are raised, it looks like platforms, they're raised there. And he put two plants there. Now, it's not so easy to reach those plants. I'm supposed to be watering the plants. That was my service. So I got on, every time I have to get on a ladder. Now, a spirit would have it. The ladder is too short. So I have to climb and climb and climb and get to the point where the top of the ladder to get to the plants. And if you know about ladders, you don't climb all the way to the top. You just don't. But if I don't get to the top, I don't get to the plants. So I did it a few times, and one day, with Advaita Charya in there and nobody else, one afternoon, I poured water into the plants and somehow my balance was off and the ladder went from under me. And so I'm coming down to the floor. The ladder is also coming down. It's right in my way. And I will admit to you, the first thing I said, I screamed. But the next word I said is, Krishna! I said, no, somehow I remember, Krishna, and then we landed. We means me and the ladder. Landed on the floor. And I think the charger came and looked at me and said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. And I wasn't lying, I was just fine. And somehow I landed between the rungs, this step, one foot here and the other foot, and the ladder did not affect me. Just remember the shout, Krishna, before I finally got on the floor, and came down on the floor. And I said, I'm very fortunate that I told Abede Jaja, even as he said, Bubu, I feel even more fortunate that I remember the Caucasus before I landed. That was even more important. I mean, whatever happened to me, at least I've got Caucasus name. He said, I have to agree with you. But nothing happened to me. I was just fine. And I promised one, I could tell a second one, but I promised one, so I just keep it one. The other one that happened at my house, not very long ago. But that one will hold up. Because,
it's 8 o'clock now.
Is it? We gotta end, right? No? Go, what? 10 more minutes? Okay. We'll see. Now, so clearly from this pastime, Krishna protects his devotees. Krishna protected 5-year-old Prahlad Maharaj. A good many of us have 5-year-olds or have had 5-year-olds before. And we have children who've been through that age. It is extremely important that the children be protected. Sringadev never neglected Prahlad Maharaj. When all these things were happening, it's clear that he never neglected Prahlad Maharaj, because all of the ways in which Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, he was unsuccessful. It wasn't Prahlad Maharaj's Shakti, no. It was the Lord Shakti that was protecting the whole time. So the Lord does not neglect his devotees. And in the same way, just like it said, it takes a community to raise a child, we are all responsible for the children who are here. Every one of us is responsible for the children who are here. It shouldn't take that something is happening with the child and you look at it and say, well, yeah, that's the child's parents' responsibility and I'm not the parent, therefore I won't do anything. The parent will come later on and wish that you had done something. How come nobody saw? We're adults here. So, the protection of children is the responsibility of all adults. Second point, we have to be careful with our own children. True enough, they don't come with a set of instructions on how to raise them. That's one. And secondly, as time is changing, lifestyle is changing, the way we were raised when we were children is not the way you can raise your children now. Every millennium, children change a little bit. And therefore, there are different ways. So if you try to do, see that time when someone said, I already told you, no, we even form the coin, kidnap for Krishna. I didn't know that where that came from. But they're telling us that we will just definitely go with you to some things involving Krishna consciousness. But you got to tell us where we're going. At least let us know. At the time when I was raised, and some of you were raised, when parents said, get in the car, we're going, you never questioned anything, you just got in the car and went. So then when we came adults, we think our children, when you say get in the car, we just basically trust and then go. But this is a different era. Now the children are not trying to be disrespectful. They just want to know where we're going. If you don't tell them, then the coin they weren't told, it means you're kidnapping me. Even though it's for Krishna, I'm still being kidnapped because I just wind up wherever I wind up. They stop. Here we are, without the child knowing. So little things like that, we have to communicate more with them, so that emotionally they are in the right place. Emotionally, they are in the right place. So we have to be careful. Things that we don't think matter so much, the children may see it differently. And another thing, the children watch us, what we do, not so much what we tell them, but what we do. And that's not changed, though. That is not changed. Through all the years, it's been the same. So in a certain house, the parents tell the children, you don't drink beer. But then their friends come and they see daddy with beer and he's drinking. Oh, so daddy says, I shouldn't drink beer, but he drinks beer. Well, maybe adults that drink beer, meaning the children, excuses. Yeah, all right. So maybe it's an adult thing. So when I grow up, I'm also going to drink beer. This is how they conclude. You know, we're going to do the same thing. I can tell you one short story. that this was in Ghana, and my parents were not drinking. We were in the type. Well, I have to give one exception. When the friends come, my mom liked what's called Guinness Stout. I don't know what you, but she liked that. She never drank unless friends would come. So she had a few bottles there. Because I guard my house with it. That means I don't get embarrassed when my friends come, I can put something out. And we, the children, my sister and myself, we're supposed to just like every time parents eat or drink something, we take the bottles and the plates and all that, we're supposed to go wash and so on. So one day I was quite curious. The rule was my house. Adults don't, I mean, parents, kids don't drink these things. We drink sodas and stuff, but not, you know, this. So one day we take this beer and Guinness Stout, not the bottles, are empty bottles. Now, if you know Guinness Stout in the liquid, that beer bottle is never totally empty. That's not possible. There'll be a little bit of it in the bottom. And I'm like, what is it that these adults drink? I just wonder what it tastes like. So I took the bottle, took it in the area we're supposed to throw it away, and without them looking, I said, I'm going to taste this thing, see what it tastes like. And then I tasted it, and boy, was I shocked. It is so bitter. I said, this is what it does, thing. I just spit it out. This is horrible. What is it about it? Does it drink this kind of stuff? Because I have a sweet tooth, but I mean, you give me a soda, I'm fine. But this stuff? So it didn't take, they didn't have to convince me. I hated the taste of it so much, I didn't drink anyway. And beer and all of them, this is a little bit of the bottle we tasted. This is all horrible. So again, I was already convinced. It's bitter, I'm not taking it. They told me you don't take it, but I came up with my own excuse. It's bitter, I don't want it. So we never, you know, I never dealt with that kind of stuff anymore. So fortunately, you kind of get the consciousness, they say, no intoxication. Well, I already had training with it. I hate those things anyway. So also, we never took that stuff, but to this day, you know, some of you may drink, I don't know, but I wonder how you get through those kind of things that are bitter. But that's life. That's life. In the spiritual world, and even the higher heavenly planets, they have soma. And soma rats can be intoxicated, but it's very sweet. It's not bitter stuff at all. It's not bitter stuff at all. And if you know, even when we have our prasadam, we have nectar, all of that sweet stuff. And so Krishna deals with sweet stuff. Anyway, so one, and then the final thing, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vaja, Aham Tam Sarva Papivyo, Moksha Yishami Masacha. He says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Interestingly enough, earlier today on YouTube, there was this interview, and I just turned on YouTube and it came on as one of those, you know, the videos put in front, and I just saw this group. The title was about the comparison of Hinduism and Christianity. And the caption is that this guru is being asked about Hinduism and Christianity. So then I got curious and I clicked it, and then this two ladies were asking this guru, white body guru, not wearing anything in particular, just regular Western dress, can you please give us a comparison of Hinduism and Christianity? So I listened to about a couple minutes of his response, and he was saying that it's not like God wants this particular religion, Hinduism or Christianity, or in the religion for God is Sanatan Dharma, and he quoted it in Sanskrit, Sanatan Dharma, and he explained it, that means the eternal religion, Sanatan Dharma. And then he started, so Hinduism is Sanatan Dharma, and Christianity is Sanatan Dharma. And not long after that, I turned it off. Because that's not what I was taught by Sri Prabhupada. The religions, the Sanatan Dharma, is that which pertains to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Sanatan Dharma takes us to the spiritual world. Christianity does not take anybody to the spiritual world. And they don't say it does either. What did he say? I'm going to heaven. Well, heaven is a higher material planet. It's not a spiritual world. Therefore, Sanatana Dharma does not embrace Christianity. It's not on it. It's not on the umbrella. It's not. Some things about the material, more the goodness, the good things, the good qualities, that is talked about. But the science of the soul, that's transcendental. That is what's connected with Sanatana Dharma. That's what's connected with Sanatana Dharma. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, to cut a long story short, Sarvadharma Parityaja, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. So if we take that seriously, we will in fact see the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, ye yatama prabhadente tam sateva bhajamyam. The extent to which you surrender, I reward accordingly. So it's on us. How much do we want to give up, like a child surrendering to the parent, trusting that the parent has all good intentions and is powerful enough to do things for the child? That's the mood that we should have towards Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Guru Bhagwan ki. Are there any questions or comments? Questions? Okay, here. Okay, so the question is there any other appearance of Shingadev apart from this one involving Balad Maharaj?
Not necessarily,
okay. So is there an appearance of Lord Shingadev as that? The answer is yes. Now, I didn't read this, my spiritual master told me. Okay, so I will do one instance. This was in the spiritual world. This is in the spiritual world. Now, before we go on to this, some of you may be a little surprised to hear this, but Krishna is unlimited. So even what's in the Vedas cannot fully describe Krishna. The pastimes go on for a long time. Forever, to say. So, the pastime involving Shingadev that was described to me by my Guru Maharaj. Spiritual world, there was a wonderful activity going on. Kirtans, dancing, so much joy. And in the middle of it, there was a big roar. And all of a sudden, people got scared. Krishna was there with them. And all of a sudden, they turned and Krishna was not there. And then they heard this big roar. And who is there but Shingadev? He just roared and started coming at the devotees. Everybody was running everywhere, scared. But they turned around and said, yeah, Krishna is just playing a game with us. Okay, so this is a short version of this. So Shingadev, yes, he is still there. Even though there's a pastime involving Prahlad Maharaj, but even the spiritual world, he still acts. Okay, that's this short version of the answer. So the answer to that, as far as I know this pastime, is yes. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, you mentioned in your lecture one point early on how Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old and he was, lack of a better word, telling his father the good and the bad. And knowing that he's 5 years old, how can today's parents actually be open-minded, I think, is my particular word, to listen to the child? You know, because some parents will say, you're 5 years old, why are you telling me what to do? And they might get offended. So how can parents be more aware when the child comes up and says, hey mom, hey dad, you know, I don't like this, or that's how I feel, and the parent really listen?
Two responses. One, or two aspects of the answer. One, we should remember that that child, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, about 30, 40 years ago, was an old man, old woman, in another lifetime. and whatever they learn is still in the subconscious. So they may seem like little to you, but they still have a bag of knowledge from previous lives. True enough, when the child starts off, because this lifetime, you have to learn some things over again. That's part of the punishment of coming back into the body like this. They still can communicate. Now, in their own childish way, we may call it childish way. So when they talk, and with all due respect, the best approach is to hear them. They may speak in your own little and what we call immature way, but you're better off knowing what your child is thinking so that you can guide your child properly. So if you go at it and say that, well, I know everything, therefore some things I'm going to disregard, it will only be a matter of time that the child grows up 9 years, 10 years, and you still keep doing that, and now they say mommy and daddy ignores me. They don't listen to me. Actually, I went through it. First I had an experience of it. My mother, as loving as she was, listened more to my sister than me. Now, I could have been envious of my sister for that. But literally, I would be speaking to my mother, something she's listening, and then my sister cuts in and she starts speaking. My mother ignores me and listens to her. So rather than get upset, I used to get angry for that reason, but I kept it to myself. So when we got older, one time I had a conversation. Did you know that mommy always ignored me when she said something and she turned in? She said, yeah. Did you know that's what made me angry? Well, she didn't want to go there. But that happened. So she was aware of it. Okay, so, and I'm not putting my mother down. I mean, she's a very, very, very good parent. But that was there. And that was something that made me quite uncomfortable. And so we do need to listen. The only time, by the way, the only time I got full attention from my mother was when my sister wasn't there. It was just her and me, so now you gotta listen. Right? She was very nice towards me. But then my mom was there. My sister was 2 years older, by the way. I'm the baby. She listens to my sister all the time. Anytime. So, yeah, so that can create even some envy and or some negative energy towards our own spouses if you're not careful how one person is treated compared to the other. So you have to be very, 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 very careful. Hear everybody out. Hear all the children out. And you are in a much better situation to guide them towards the right things rather than just, you know, well, you don't have much intelligence, you never develop very much. I know everything, therefore I tell you and you listen. Well, usually when you do that, the parent gets, the child gets older, and now they want an opportunity to confront that parent and tell them some things that they have learned to let the parent know that, yeah, I also have brains. You ignored me all this time. And I've seen that happen with my stepbrothers and my father. So my family went through all of this kind of stuff. And my stepbrother stood up to him because he was very, very, very tough, and his punishments were quite brutal, and you couldn't say a thing. And I mean, these were in his first marriage, so they were far older than me. The youngest of my stepbrothers was 11 years older than me. That was the youngest, so it was 11 years and up. He was way, way, way older than me at that time. And my father just, anyway. So when they got older and they got their own jobs and stuff, they wanted a chance to stand up to him and tell him that now you can't hit me. You're older and I'm stronger. You can't hit me. And he just, got back at him. So we got to be careful in these days, these formative times, how we deal with our parents. The best thing is to listen. Listen. Yes, they're going to tell you things that are immature. That's all right. Don't tell them you're immature. Just guide them in the right place. And little by little, they get, and then they have even more trust in you. So when they grow older, they confide in you more because you listen. They confide in you more, and that's better. That's far better than them doing negative things behind your back because you don't talk to them and you just assume that you don't have much sense or they can't tell you anything. So that's where it's come to these days. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll stop here. Gatra Shimad Palpadam Ki Shri Prabhupad Ki Nishinga Chaturasi Ki Nitaipur Femanandi Ki.